This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Hold on, y'all. With all this talk about making babies that we love to do, let's talk for a second about feeding those little miracles when they come. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company that started with a simple mission: make the best formula in the world. When chest feeding isn't an option, ByHeart's clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula is there for you. Their patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk. Plus, ByHeart is made with certified clean ingredients and no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. And it's the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. ByHeart also happens to be clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula, which, trust me, you're gonna want. So tell me, you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code QueerFam for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk with
Jamie
and Robin.
That's us. Our lovely podcast where we talk about making babies.
And non-traditional families.
The best thing ever.
That's
cool.
There's cheesecake. Is it the best?
I really don't like cheesecake.
Stop it.
Don't put that in my face.
Even with like strawberries and cherries on it?
Oh God, even worse.
Oh my God.
Yeah, not into it. But okay, so on another note.
I miss cheesecake. I'm trying to stay away from them. I'm on the wagon. All right, well, We got a big episode today. We have two very special guests today.
If we don't say so ourselves,
it's us.
It's us.
This is how this is gonna go. We just have to accept it, you know. All right. So Jamie and I were in the car driving, you know, on our way to record somebody, and I had just watched the This Is Us episode,
and I feel like
this is a spoiler. Do we have to say spoiler alert? I mean, I don't know.
No, because it's aired like a month ago.
The dad dies.
We have talked about This Is Us in way too many episodes.
I know.
I'm embarrassed of it. But
I'm not.
I am, because I really don't like the show. It's like a love-hate relationship with that show. Because I know it's going to make me cry, but I'm also like, why are you manipulating me so much? Why?
I love it. I love being manipulated.
Why do you care This Is Us?
You know? You're so mad at them. Okay, so I was watching the episode where... it's not Randall. Who's the other son? What's his name? I don't know anybody's names. Kevin. Kevin is in therapy at the rehab, and he's, you know, and he's bringing it. He's all like, well, you guys did this to me.
They're having the family is talking with them.
And he's like, you did this to me. Mm-hmm. And finally, Mandy Moore explodes. Mm-hmm. She has an explosion.
Well, because he's like on her. Yeah. Mom, why did you?
And Randall's protecting her.
Why were you always
like
protecting Randall? And why were
why
you?
Why do you love Randall? Randall.
And then she just blew up.
Oh my God. And started screaming, because he was easier.
Oh my God. I lost it.
Right?
So I sobbed. Hardcore. But, you know, I try to hold it in. So then it was like that.
You know what I'm talking about? You like straight up Oprah ugly cry.
I'm not gonna cry. But it hit a chord deep.
It did me too. I was crying too.
Yeah.
And then I had all kinds of feelings. And so I was having my feelings in the car with Jamie. And And I was just saying, you know, it's when you have one kid who's hard mm-hmm. and one kid who's easy, it really, it's something. It puts you through it. And I said to Jamie.
And it's a thing.
It's a thing. And I said to Jamie, I said, we have to do an episode on this. And Jamie immediately said, absolutely not. Because she has the hard kid.
Well, you know, hard kid, as do I. We both have a similar situation. Yeah. And I don't even know if we should say the hard kid versus the easy kid.
So you're already starting to do it.
This is why I'm afraid to do this episode. Yeah. Because I don't. I love both of my kids totally equally, of course.
Let's do this. Before we move forward, can we just have a blanket saying, we're looking at each other and we're saying, we love our kids equally.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that you don't have these feelings and need to talk about them.
And they're two completely different people.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Jamie took some time and let me also say,
Jamie wanted to do it, but Jamie was afraid to do it. So Jamie's still on the fence, and I'm talking about myself in third person now, so you know I'm having emotions, but
Jamie doesn't like feelings.
It's true.
I like feelings, and I like to talk about them a lot. Like, I really do, but mostly other people's, less so mine. Mm. Unless I've figured it all out, then I'm all happy to, like, once I've figured it out, I'll let you see it. But you know, when it's messy, no, you're not seeing it. Mm. Although maybe this could be a little messy. So anyway, so we thought, you know, we cannot be the only people. We have got to talk about this.
There's got to be more people out there.
Yeah. So because there's so many things. So, like, let's start here. I had my first kid, Maxine, who just this joyful baby. She was an easy baby. Mary and I believe we've mentioned this before, we were like all kinds of smug in our greatness, you know, because we were just like, you know, when people would be having a hard time, we were like, oh, I guess they're just not scheduled. They're not following.
they didn't put that baby on the schedule.
We follow rules, and you know, we're pretty strict with our, you know, with our, you know, and then we got Henry.
You have to let him cry. There's that. Oh my God.
Are you following through, or are you giving in? We weren't judgy to people's faces, but at home we were like having a field day.
Oh yeah. No, people said to me when I would complain about mine, well, did you really follow one particular method, or did you bounce around a lot? Yeah. Ooh. I mean, I can't tell you the amount of people who had judgy things to say to me.
Well, I think I would like to believe, and I hope so, and if there's anyone that I didn't do this for, I think we did all the judging at home alone, but I can't be sure about that. So if I didn't, I'm sorry. And then we got our second kid, and he was very, very hard. Like, I remember this one dad came up to me at one point, and he goes, whew, he can't be distracted from his anger. And I was like, yeah, no, I know. Mm-hmm. Like, he was hard. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just passionate mm-hmm. and emotional and all of the things. Mm-hmm. And we took everything back that we had said. We took it all back.
It is so refreshing. I've said this to you before, and I think I've even said this on the podcast. It's so refreshing to hear you say that, because it's so hard. You had the inverse, right? The first one.
Yeah.
So we knew no better. We had no idea what
you were like, this is parenting.
We were like, this, oh my God, I really thought it was going to be a lot better than I thought there were going to be a lot more happy feelings than there are happening right now. Yeah. You know, that's really where it took us. Yeah. It was such a slap in the face. And we really did feel
alone. What were the
things
that you went through? Like sleep? She didn't sleep. Didn't she also have something with like, was she like lactose? Did you have that like with formula? Did I make that up?
No, that's probably somebody else.
Somebody else I judged.
She was very loud from the get-go. She was very strong from the get-go. Mm-hmm. She came out screaming and she didn't stop. Mm-hmm. Looking back, I guess she was colicky, but we never really gave that label to it, and we didn't want to. She just was.
Isn't that funny too, by the way? Like, God forbid you put a label on it, because then you'll be a bad parent. Right. But it's like, labels exist for a reason.
Honestly, I also felt like saying she was colicky was like, it's not really getting to the root of it, because it's not just that
doesn't
she's
change anything.
Colicky, because she carried that all the way till she was three. Yep. So it wasn't colicky baby syndrome or whatever. Mm-hmm. She really just, if she got angry, she held on to it. She would be very loud. Mm-hmm. In her first year of life, like when she would get into a fit, mm-hmm. which she would get into regularly, mm-hmm. which we don't know why, what would happen, how it would happen from 0 to 12 months, It just, it would escalate. It would turn into this huge thing. She would literally scream for 30 minutes straight. And wow. There was nothing you
nothing
could do.
Nothing soothed her.
Nothing.
And everybody was like, did you try? Yes. Are you bundling well? No, are yeah. you? Yeah,
the
all
child
the
was swaddled so tight for her first year. I'm telling you. I mean,
she's
like.
She's like turning blue.
I mean, and now that I have my second, it's a whole, it's like rainbows and starshine. Yeah. Not, and I don't, that's why I have a hard time with this because I don't want to say that one is better than the other. It's because it's not. It's just
they're
totally
not, it's
different,
just different
experiences.
It, you know.
And it, yeah, sorry. And it was really, it was so challenging. Yeah. She was so challenging. And none of the traditional things and none of the parenting experts and none of the websites answered our questions or helped us. Nothing helped us.
You know what I found? Two things. So when it came to Henry, like, he wouldn't go down well. So it's like he wouldn't like sleep well. He wouldn't be scheduled. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we had the first
same
kid, so we couldn't be as scheduled. Like it was like with him, like, right. You know, our nanny had to go pick her up in the middle of his nap and then he would fall asleep and then that would wreck the nap. It was like, and it was like financial decisions. So we couldn't make changes. Right. So it was like, this is how we have to do it and we have to sort it. So his like, whereas she was just in a daycare from the get-go, mm-hmm. so she was scheduled from, you know, and we never deterred from the schedule. But
and
when you have that second kid,
to keep on the
schedule. Yeah, you have that second kid, you got to be out of the house.
Yeah,
you know.
But
so
even Maxine, probably if you had to switch up her schedule, she would have been fine. Which is how Orion is. Yeah. Like he's the second one. I know that situation because I have to go pick her up. He's constantly here and there and everywhere, and his schedule is so messed up. But he's just chill.
But even you know what's so interesting is like there's so much self-blame. Like even in that, I'm blaming us because we couldn't be more, you know, scheduled with him. And it's just that he's a different person. Yeah. And the part that was so hard is, so like, here's the contrast. When I would go to pick up Maxine from daycare, I'd be like, why is she not in her room? And the teacher would be like, oh, the 18-month-old lady took her. She just loves her and she wants her to sit on her lap. And like, and then
she was
like,
so chill.
Yeah. And they would, and that was always, she's just an angel. Uh-huh. And then like with Henry, it's like, and so even when Maxine is upset or does something wrong, she goes, oh, I'm sorry, mom. And then she just like, you know, like, so you don't end up yelling.
Right.
But like with Henry, by contrast, like, and what I'm learning as he gets older, because he's now almost 7, is that he's actually these two contrasting things. One is like so outgoing and then the other is so sensitive. Mm-hmm. So he's like, so like that outgoing or that loud personality makes him, when he's mad, he's screaming at you. Mm-hmm. And,
same
but
with
then
her.
He's so sensitive. So like if I get frustrated and yell back, it's like, I want to soothe him, but I can't because I'm so mad because he's screaming at me all the time.
It's same with Rose. She, her go-to is to scream and yell.
Or
and,
tantrum or,
you know. And at the same time, I have to say, as Rose has grown, she's become more mature and mm-hmm. she can turn things off.
Yes, yes.
She's smart. So yes, she knows when she needs to behave and when, you know, but when she's at home and she stubs her toe, it's not just going to be like a, oh, mama, I stubbed my toe. It's a screaming fit for literally 5 minutes.
Yeah,
Even though it doesn't hurt that bad, it's just the way she gets it out.
But that's
which gets so frustrating because you want to comfort, but you're like, oh my God, child, stop screaming in my face.
Yes. It's like you're in my ear. It's so hard.
Yes.
It's so hard to comfort when they're so visceral. Mm-hmm. But so I've been trying to work on giving tools that I wasn't given. Here, this is the other thing too, is he is me. Mm. Like I am that same sort of like loud asshole. And I'm not calling my kid an asshole, but you know, I did
we're
a little
get
bit.
Emails.
But, yeah. Well, I mean, like, look, here's the thing. If we can't be honest, like other people feel this way. But it's like,
I hope so.
Could you imagine if everyone's like, what is wrong with you?
We're never going to listen to your podcast again.
Boycott. Boycott the ovaries. But you know, like I can't, you know, I have to work on myself and how I soothe him and like how mm-hmm. trying to be patient and like, and I have to do the opposite of what I want to do, which is like you said, be like, stop it. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to just be like, try to remain calm. And it's so hard.
It's very hard.
So hard.
It's so hard. And like the difference between it's already so apparent that the parenting style for my two, and my boy is only 4 months old, but I already know that our parenting style is going to have to be so different for the two of them.
That's the thing. You have to be completely different.
When Orion cries, all I have to do is pick him up and soothe him maybe a whole 4 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, it's that's like, you got nothing on me, kid. Yeah. I got your number.
I could do that while making dinner.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So he just is so much easier soothed right now at this point. It could change.
Sure.
But, you know, so with Rose, I literally have to have a conversation with Rose before we do anything big. Like, if we're going to go in public, I have to premeditate my parenting. I have to premeditate what I'm going to say to her. How are we going to react in this? How are we going to act in this place? We need to make sure that you know the expectations, because I know you can follow my expectations. And I'm going to say it to you right now, and this is what I expect. I have to do that with Rose. And nobody ever had to do that with me. I was easy.
I'm like trying to think. I have a feeling people had to do that with me. I was an animal.
But that's how I navigate around having to lose my temper with her. That's what I've come up with to have to lose my temper.
You should be
with
very
her.
Proud of that.
It doesn't always work.
Well, I mean, we're human beings.
But I do. Every time it's going to be a thing where I know she could get out of hand, or it's a tempting situation for her, I literally I get down on her level and I say to her, this is what's happening. We're going to go in there. You are not going to ask me for a toy. It is allowed. You are not asking. Do you understand?
Yep.
And I make her say I understand. Or that's like a dumb example. But whatever the situation is.
But that's just like every time you go to Target.
But that's every time I go to CVS. But there are other situations too where I have to have a serious conversation. We have these conversations all the time. And then I can say to her when we're in the moment and I see she's about to go there, Rose, remember what we talked about.
Yeah.
Remember what I talked about with you. Yeah. You know, it doesn't always work, but at least I have some sort of something to anchor onto with her, because we can get into this deep abyss of feelings where she's off the hook, off the, you know.
Well, let me ask you this question. When you had Orion, and had...
Rose,
when you had Orion and it was apparently abundantly clear that he was going to be an easy baby, did you go into any weird places of like, this is my kid versus Anne's kid? Like, did you start to make it be about that? Like,
well, that guilt, the guilt of, it possibly being that is always this underlying current in my life at this point, because it's still so new having the two of them.
Yeah.
And it's still, I'm still getting to know Orion. There's like a guilt over it. There's a worry. There's a fear that I can parent him better because I birthed him maybe, and I get him more. And maybe it's harder for me with Rose because I just don't get her as well as I get him. And that's a fear. But I also know in my right mind, that is not true. Because my wife has the same... Yeah, and when you tell me that, that makes me feel a million times better. But also, my wife has the same feelings about both of them too. She's, you know, Rose is a little more challenging. And Orion, so far, is just a walk in the park. Yeah. Like, so simple, easy.
I mean, it's like Mary and I were talking about that, like, connecting and how you connect, and like, and it's like, and I started the conversation almost in the same way that you did last night, because we had a date night that was also, by the way, our date night was interrupted with 45 minutes because the people called and said, Henry's having a hard time. And I said, what's he doing? And it was like yelling at his sister and being mean to other little kids. And I put him on the phone and I said, you listen to me. And he was just like, okay, I got it. I'll fix it. And I was like, you know, because we ended up having to pick him up early because I was not sure what was going to happen.
Well, but you find yourself, I want to hear you, but you find yourself being like, personally, I am so much more stern as a mother with her than I ever thought I would be. I'm a totally different mother than I thought I was going to be. I can't believe the angry place I can go to. I can't believe the strict and stern place I find myself in.
Do you think that Rose needs those boundaries?
Yes, she does.
Yeah.
She does.
Yeah, I think that
not every child does.
I think a lot of kids, most kids need to know where the lines are.
Yeah.
But, then I start to worry about, okay, so you've talked about, like, that you're parenting them differently. Mm-hmm. I start to worry about, like, is my other child just wandering off because like a lot of the attention in the family swings toward the kid that's the right. it's the squeaky wheel.
Which happens in a lot of families.
Yeah.
No, but you're more in the thick of it. You're more into this now because they're both older. So that's a place I haven't gone yet because I haven't really seen myself doing two parenting styles to the two.
Well, and my daughter has this way of just sort of like blending in. Like she walks into a playground and has a best friend in 5 seconds. Like kids love her. They're drawn to her. But she could also hide and in plain sight. Mm-hmm. And I worry sometimes like, oh God, I'm like spending all my energy trying to give him tools. Am I ignoring her? And it's like this bringing that back to that other point of like, we all have to start every conversation with, oh, but I love them both the same.
I know. Yeah.
It's like, and you, of course I do. It's
yeah. But people, judgy people who had five easy ones.
Does that happen? Yes. There's people with five easy ones?
Yes. Yes. I know some families who have had easy babies and they've had multiple easy babies. Yeah, but then so they still don't get
older
it.
And have to have some problems.
And there's,
right?
And they say things to me like when, cause Rose is really hard to get to take medicine. And if she doesn't want to do something, it sounds like a war scene is happening in our apartment. Like,
oh yeah,
I've been afraid that they're going to call CPS on us sometimes. I'm not kidding. And we're not doing anything, you know, except putting a cup of medicine up to her mouth. Or trying to, can't even get
it
close to her mouth.
She
held, here's a side note. She held medicine in her mouth for, I believe, Anne knows the exact number, but I believe it was 45 minutes without swallowing. And then spit it out.
That is a determined kid.
And then spit it out.
I had a cat who did that once, by the way. I gave her a pill and she just sat there for a really long time. And then she leaned back and went, and spit the pill up in the air.
That's Rose. But
R.I.P. Sam.
What were we talking about with that?
Wait, well, so we were talking about like the kids and the different parenting in the oh, space.
No, yes. So I've had parents like say to me, "Oh, I'd get her to do it. Send her to me. I'll get like you know. Oh, really? I would love to send her to you. I'd love for you to have that rude awakening because she will school you. You know."
On a plane once when Henry was a baby, he was crying and crying. And I was just like, I mean, his first word was cracker because I was just jamming crackers in his mouth to just try to get through this flight. And I was just, there's like Cheerios on my shirt and it's like my hair is everywhere. And there was these like two sort of like, I don't know, somewhere Russian-esque sort of ladies sitting, sisters, like larger than life ladies sitting in the aisle across me. And the one lady leaned across and she goes, "Give me that baby." And I went like this. And I handed her my baby because I was just like, I'm like 4 hours into this flight. Like my arms are breaking and I'm just sweating.
Flying was so hard with Rose.
Sweating because the people, like, it's like, I don't want them to hate me. I'm doing everything.
Oh,
I want
them
to see. I hand her my baby. She wings him around for a little bit and I'm just sitting there and all of a sudden she hands him back to me and she goes, because she couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, fine, take that baby.
Yeah. Because it's not us. And that's another thing where I want to talk about this. We had so much guilt and fear that we were bad moms because we couldn't control her. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know any different. We thought, and we'd hear other people talk about, you hear other moms who just had a baby. Oh my gosh, don't you just love it? Aren't you having the best time?
And you were
time?
Like twitching.
I would get, it would be a visceral response. Mm-hmm. I would want to cry. And I would hold my true answer in because you're never going to know where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't enjoy it. It was so hard.
Yeah.
And there was crying every night. From all of us.
Sure.
Every night. I'm not saying like once in a blue mind. Every night we all ended up in tears.
Yep.
And it was not, it was just a hard, hard experience. And then you hear these mothers who.
And you're exhausted.
So you start thinking, well, God, maybe it's us. Yeah. Maybe we really are just don't know how to do this.
I remember when Henry was two and we had to like sort of refurberize him because he wouldn't stay in his room.
Refurberize.
And it was like this like,
times.
Yeah, we found this like toddler one where you're supposed to like hold the door in increasing time
we
periods.
Did that. She almost broke
and he
the
would
door.
Just be punching the door.
We have glass doors.
Yeah. Oh, we have just like old wooden doors. But, and then when he would finally like, I don't know, pass out from exhaustion. We would both sit on the couch and just start sobbing.
Yes.
And just be like, it's so hard. And that was like a solid 6-8 months.
That was one. And then
he would wake up at 3:30 and we would just be, and our downstairs neighbors wanted to punch us because he was like stomping. And I was just like, we are holding it together by a thread here,
oh my
lady.
God. That was us, Robin. But it was from age 0 to 3.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's exactly.
All of a sudden, now she's an angel in bed. I can't even, I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, well, we put her in bed, six, she stays in bed.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say all of a sudden, because we worked hard for this. Actually, earned this. Yes. I'm so proud of us. Yes. That's the other thing that's a beauty about this. When you have a difficult child, and they start to turn it around, mm-hmm. and you go to a parent-teacher conference, and your teacher is like, and the teacher is like, she's great. I love her. Yeah. I use her as an example all the time. It feels like I did that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because
you're getting so crazy over there, Jamie.
I have like, there's a lot in here. There's a lot because we've worked so hard.
Walk you to a therapist after this.
We're in therapy because of, not because of that, but well, yeah.
Because other things. We'll talk about that
soon. Big part of that. Yeah. I take ownership.
Yes, absolutely.
Person that she is.
I always say to Mary, like, we didn't give up. We stayed in there and we kept holding ourselves accountable and being like, can we do it better? Can we, I don't know, you know, like, and we would make a mistake and then we yell, lose control. Yeah. And then like, we'd, apologize, clean it up and try again.
Mm-hmm.
I want to turn it just a little bit because I have had this thing, like there's someone I knew from work who had kids. And who talked about each kid as, this is the smart one, this is the this one. And I'm always like, this is, I think, for me, I worry less about my kids hearing this because I think I would, as they get older, I would have this conversation with them. Like, you know, and I would say it in a less bitchy sort of way. But where am I going with this? I'm going with the idea that you're naming it, like, you're like, this one's your hard kid, this one is your this kid. And I get so nervous about that.
Well, that's why I was afraid to even do this episode.
Yeah. But I mean, it's more than just the hard kid, the whatever. It's like this is my, like, Maxine's our outgoing kid and Henry's our sensitive kid. And it's like, I'm so weary and worried of like, or I go back and forth in my head about, is that being in tune to who your child is? Or is that, you like, do they then try to get your love by being the person that you think? Do you know what I mean? That, like, that circle back and forth of,
I think
I'm a social kid, so I'll be more social to get your love.
Right. Well, I feel like experts would say that when you label them, they live up to those labels.
Right.
I feel like I've heard that before.
Have I heard that? I don't know if I've heard that. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it's like they're going to try to be who you want them to be. Mm. But like, how you have to be honest.
Right.
You know, you have to be honest, like, that, like, I'm spending more of my time disciplining you than I am you.
Right.
You know?
Right. But it doesn't need to be said, I guess, is the question.
Well, I don't know that we're saying it to them. I don't think I am.
Right. I mean,
you're the hard one.
Because it was easy.
Hey, hard one, get in here. And by the way, it was very clear Mandy Moore had been holding that for, like, you know, as long as Kevin was alive.
I mean, that was a good scene. It was really good. It got us. It got like this whole conversation going for us. Because it's true. So Anne and I went through this time. We still talk about it, actually. When we're at parties, when we're talking about Rose and what she's like, we had to try to stop saying, oh, she's crazy. Oh, she's wild. We have, and then after every party, we come home and one of us will be like, so we said it.
We did that thing again.
Because we do it because it's our experience. And
we used to say that, like, we were in Vietnam with Henry and now we're like, we were shell shocked and stuff. I mean, we didn't say it to him.
We say we have PTSD every time Orion cries just a little bit, and he really doesn't cry.
Yeah.
But we still get like, I was afraid to put him down to sleep, awake, because of the hell I went through doing that with Rose, or just trying to put her to sleep. And then finally I did it and it was a piece of cake. I mean, well, here, this is what I think it's supposed to go like. He cried for about 6 minutes and then he fell asleep. That's how it's supposed to go. So parents, if your child is screaming bloody murder, like somebody is cutting their leg off, go in and soothe them. That's how I feel at this point. Because we put ourselves through hell letting her scream and cry and cry and scream.
Going back to your point about how you did it and you can claim this, I read that whatever the strong-willed kid,
spirited child.
Yes, I read some stuff about it and they were saying I was trying to break him early. Like, I was like, I will win this. Like, he will see that I am the one who sets these rules. Because, that's how I think of the 70s and the way I grew up is, like, there was rules, you followed them, or somebody smacked my butt. or washed my mouth out with soap, or whatever it was they did. You know? So I was like, I'm going to win this. And then when I read that and they were like, actually, to that child, it feels as if you are, it feels like unfair, unjust what you're doing because they feel so strongly about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So finding a way to bring them around. But God, it's like, that's a difficult thing to do.
How do you bring an 18-month-old around?
Well, the 18-month-old, you don't. Like that. I mean,
well, maybe there is a way to bring them around. You know, I mean, it's, I'm sure
that's choices, like giving choices and this versus right. that and all that crap.
Right. Well,
but it's like, it's hard.
It was hard. And I'm now I have the experience of having an easier baby. He still has his challenges, but he's an easier baby. And now I can say that fear was always in the back of my head. Like, maybe I just don't know what I'm doing. Maybe I'm really fucking this up. Excuse my language. And now I have him and it's going so smoothly.
Yeah.
And I think, okay, I do know what I'm doing.
Well, let me ask you this question. Are you saying, looking back, you wouldn't cry it out with Rose? You would do it differently?
I think I would. Yeah, I think I would have. We tried to sleep train her so many times.
Yeah.
Because that's what all the experts say. That's what all the books say to sure. do. We have a shelf full of sleep books.
That people, judgy parents have handed you?
Yeah.
Try this book.
No, really. I think I have like almost all of them.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we bounced from one to one, you know. Like we gave them a good go, each single one of them.
Yeah.
And then there was one point where I tried to combine them all
and make
my own.
Sure, you were making up the Jamie method.
I mean, it was 3 years of doing this. So yeah. I don't know if it was worth all the struggle we put ourselves through because the hardest part of it was listening to her scream.
Yeah, that's the guilt I have. The guilt because it's like with Maxine, like we did it. It worked exactly how the book said it was supposed to.
And
she
with
cried,
Orion
she cried
too.
It out, yeah. She went to bed. And it's like some of the guilt I have and is like that he wanted something and I didn't give it to him. And I don't know.
I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
And
but it's like I also know, like he couldn't come out of the bed every single night. So it's like if we go back to it, it's easy to say for me now that my kids, I say go brush your teeth and then they go to bed. Mm-hmm. You know, they read in bed and then they go to bed. Yeah. So it's like that's easy for me to say now, but going back to that time period of like, so then he would have come out every night at 3, and then he would have come out. It's like.
No, really. You know? Actually, like we were damned if we did, damned if we didn't. Because if we didn't leave her in there to scream and cry, she would have stayed up and been watched. She didn't get tired.
More crazy,
she wouldn't get tired. She would run around and be crazier and crazier and crazier. Like there was no winning. There was no winning with her. And even like we had to make sure she slept in her crib or in her bed every night because if we made it a habit of bringing her into our bed, she still wouldn't go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And then she'd just be in our bed for that. So like there was no winning.
Yeah.
There was no winning this fight. It was just what we were handed and we had to work towards staying together through it.
So,
which we made it out on the other end. We're still together. So that's good.
Woo! That's a win.
You know, but it's...
Well, and now she's a delightful, well-mannered kid. I mean...
In public, yeah.
Well, I mean, but I had a doctor that said if they're acting out with you, it means that they know you, they're loved and they feel comfortable.
She really doesn't even act out that much. She just has very strong reactions to things.
Sure. Is there anything... Do you think there's anything that's specific to the LGBTQ non-traditional family? Or this is just straight up parenting, I think.
I think it's straight up parenting.
It's just like, hard.
I think that...
Because we had two moms, it should be instinctive.
As two moms, though, who are very, very committed to co-parenting 50-50, like not even 49-50. Like we are committed to this, which takes work.
Really does. Also can be a source of problems because there's all, I did this. Did you do that?
No.
We're not equal.
There have been some like moments like that. But I will say that in our lesbian couple to mother relationship, we are both taking the brunt of it. So it's not just one person who's doing most of it. And I don't want to judge straight couples at all. And I don't want to put them all into one hole, but I do see a lot of moms doing.
Are you putting them into a hole?
They should go back. They should go in the closets now. Just lock that door. I'm just kidding. No.
Stop, to all our straight listeners.
Stop. Gosh. No, but I do see them. I see a lot of moms doing way more than the dads. And I'm not saying that that's every straight relationship because there are a lot of great dads out there.
Yeah.
But I will say that if we're gonna say, is this a parenting thing versus a LGBTQ?
I did
thing,
feel like we were a team, Mary and I. We were a team in the crisis, and we were a team in sorting it out. And I felt very lucky to have somebody who was my, because we're very 50-50 too. Like if I cook, she does dishes.
Right, and we're the same way. And we take
neither
turns.
Of us cook well, but we try.
Well, neither do we.
If but, if I order it through Seamless, she goes to the door to pick it up.
We also take turns with bedtime because we still have a very long, drawn out bedtime routine because of the difficulty we went through. So we always take turns.
Do you think
with
she
bedtime.
Still needs it, or do you think that?
No, we've
are you
started,
just so afraid?
We are so shell shocked and afraid to change anything, but we have started making tiny adjustments because we have the second baby now.
Yeah.
And, so there's like.
Yeah, two bedtimes is tough. It's
one
tough
less
to figure
book,
that out.
You know, but it's like, it's the same every single night. It's three books, two of them on the couch, one of them in the bed. You know, like there is a structure
start to go
it.
Down.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. There is a whole long structure to this bedtime routine. And we are starting to morph it a little because she's just like so adaptable now, which is crazy.
Anything you would do differently?
Listen to my instinct a little more. But at the same time, like I just said earlier, I also don't think that we could have won either way.
Yeah.
It was going to be tough no matter what.
I think in a perfect world, I wish that I had recognized earlier the sensitivity and I would have comforted more than yelled, I think. But it's like, isn't that just like the bitch of parenting is that you are just going to forever be thinking of all the mistakes you made and things you could have done better. Mm-hmm. Like there's one moment can't forget, like where I yelled at Maxine in the bathtub and she was like, I don't know, like 18 months. She's the most joyful child in the, she skips through life. And I still think when I think of that moment, my heart hurts because it's just, you know, I mean, that's being a parent.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's very hard. We're doing our best. And we have four pretty amazing kids.
But I think, and this is what I would like to say, I'd like to say the fact that we look at it like this and that we continuously try to improve is what makes us good parents.
Yeah.
Even if like some days we don't nail it.
We're trying. And we're honest.
so honest.
Too honest.
Well, I mean, all right, we've said a lot. We did just say a lot, some of which may get us... you know, a call from somebody to come take our children.
No,
my God, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Nobody take my kids. I love them.
Oh, we have a whole website about making them. I mean, website. What is this called? A podcast.
We got a radio show about it.
1970.
I don't know what's happening. All right. Well, we've said a lot. Mm-hmm. So if you would like to tell us your thoughts, like, did you have a hard time? Did you, you know, tell us your stories. We'd love to hear them.
I would love to know that there are people who relate to us out there. Yeah. Please, for my sanity, please write
please
in.
Please comment
and
on our
tell
Facebook
us
page.
That you relate to that to us and
tell
we're not
Jamie
crazy.
She's not insane.
Or a bad mom.
For this.
Yeah.
She's insane for other reasons.
I'm just racked with guilt.
She's insane.
In way too many places in my life. Can we help alleviate this guilt? That would be good.
All right. We're on
hit us up on the social.
Facebook, If These Ovaries Could Talk.
Twitter, @ Ovaries Talk.
Instagram, ovaries_talk. And you could always email us
at
ovariestalk@gmail.com.
Thank you, Robin.
All right.
Eggs.
Ovaries out.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe, like vintage-style tees, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country, and jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.